So today, as we entered this church, many of the people who are in the world of education joined us to celebrate this great day, Catechetical Sunday. It's a day in which we honor and respect and hold up all those women and men who serve in this Archdiocese of Los Angeles and literally across this world, who do such great work both in Catholic education, in religious education, in adult education and formation, and in all of the various parts of teaching in this great city. And so for all of you today, we are very, very grateful. And we honor you in a very special way at this Mass, offer this Mass, of course, for you and with you. We'll have the opportunity today to return a tiny little fraction of a blessing to you for a huge blessing and gift that you give here at St. Monica's and, of course, across this world. Our chief catechist in the Archdiocese is Sister Edith Prendergast, who's a member of our community. She is in charge of religious education for the whole Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and along with our new Archbishop, Archbishop Jose Gomez, is the chief catechist for this church, this local church of Los Angeles. So in a special way, we honor you and thank you on this day. Today is a really tough gospel to preach. Last week was tough enough. Lord, how many times am I to forgive someone? Seven times? And our Lord's response to Peter is no, not seven times, 70 times seven times. So in other words, you forgive, brother. You forgive each and every time you are offended or you offend, but we forgive. And that, of course, is probably one of the greatest challenges of our life. I personally feel that this gospel today is even a harder gospel to preach because it just doesn't make sense by our standards. Let's look at it for just a moment. You get a guy who's going out into the vineyard. He owns the vineyard. He's the boss. And he's out at 5 o'clock in the morning, dawn, the dawn patrol. And he looks around and he finds laborers for his vineyard, brings them in, and promises them a day's wage. So it's all fair, right on the table. And then he goes back out at 9 o'clock and finds more workers. Goes back out again at 12 o'clock, finds more workers. Goes out at 3 o'clock and then goes out at 5 o'clock. So he's gone out five times looking for people to come into his vineyard to work. There you are. When pay time comes, what does he do? He takes the guy that came in at 5 p.m. and hands him a full day's wage. Then he goes up the line, the 3 o'clockers, the nooners, the 9 o'clock, and the dawn patrol. And everyone gets the same wage. When those at 5 a.m. hear that they got the same wage as the guy, day's wage, the same wage that the guy got at 5 p.m., what do you think would be your response? We know what the response of the gospel is, but what would be your response? Michelle, what would be your response? She just referenced our president, Tom Gasper. You would say, thank you. You know, ultimately, Michelle, you've just given the homily. That's the truth. Michelle, it doesn't surprise me. You've just given it, but wait till we'll flesh it out. We'll come back to that. Larry, what would you say? I got gypped. Okay. Mr. Rick, what would you say? Not fair. That's what you'd say. Yeah, not fair. Got gypped. Thank you. And so I think what we're really looking at today is something that is so contrary to our thinking, the way in which we live our lives, the way in which we practice our lives. The struggle that goes on in that gospel to me is something that is profoundly difficult for me to understand. there's a meaning, and I know there's a meaning. And I know that it's something that we should take hold and take charge of, because it's the food for our journey for this week. So I thought to myself, well, how could I reflect on it? So I came up with two thoughts. One thought I really like, that's Michelle's thought, and the thought I don't like very well is the one I want to give you first. It's from a story. It's the story of written by a man named Anthony DeMello. And by the way, Anthony DeMello died about 60 years of age. He talked about trust. He talked about peace. He talked about tranquility. And he died of a heart attack at 60. Figure. Hard to understand, isn't it? But that's the human condition. Died all too soon. So in his book, The Song of the Bird, he tells this story. A man was walking through the forest, and he saw a fox that had lost its legs. He wondered how the poor animal would survive. And then he saw a tiger come into the clearing with game in its mouth. And the tiger ate its fill and then left the rest of the game, the meat, for the fox. The next day, God fed the fox the very same way by that tiger. So the man began to wonder and say to himself, you know, God is so good. I too shall just rest here a while, full of trust in the Lord, and he will provide everything I need. The man remained in the forest for several days. Nothing happened. The poor man was right at death's door, starving, hungry, thirsty. And then he heard the voice. And the voice said, "Oh, you poor fool. Open your eyes to the truth. Stop imitating the disabled fox. And instead, follow the example of the tiger." Yeah. So maybe instead of saying, "I didn't get what I needed," maybe we ought to be more like the tiger, just going out and doing what we need to do. I often have the great opportunity of being with people right at the very end of life. Now, I started this business when I was very young. I have not always been faithful, but I've been trying hard. And sometimes I meet people at the end of life who have lived a very, very disconnected life from God. And I often wonder, as I'm there at their side, praying with them, healing them, bringing them hope, I often wonder, is this person now going to be right at the throne of God? Just as I will hopefully someday be at the throne of God? How does this person who has lived this life of debauchery by all standards get the same crown? How does that happen? Do you ever think like that? You probably don't. You all people are good, but I do. My little head goes in those directions. And that isn't good thinking, because you and I do believe with all our hearts that our God will reward us. That our God in an instant can cover us over and forgive everything we have ever done. But our thinking, our posturing, the way in which we look at life is oftentimes very, very different. And of course, that's Isaiah in the gospel today. Now that's one thought. It's okay. I like it, but I don't like it that much. But here's the thought that I would love to share with you. It's from John Shea. I want you to listen to this, if you would, because I think it has profound implications for our life. I mean that. The feeling of unfairness, which is the gospel reflection today, springs from a well-constructed mental tape. Do any of you have tapes, mental tapes? Oh, I've got more tapes than you need in a lifetime. Going all the time. The basic message of this tape is, if someone gets what I'm getting, but hasn't put in as much work as I have, I'm being cheated. Is there any other way to see this? Most of us have this tape running continuously in our mind. Is that true? I think it is. You didn't work as hard as I worked, and you're getting a bigger promotion than I'm getting. How does that happen? You're a much better looking guy than I am. How did you get this and I don't have that? How come you are so successful in life and I'm working twice as hard as you are, and yet you're the princess of our school? How does this happen? How does that happen? That's in our minds. The truth of this tape seems obvious because it confirms our fundamental stance. And here it is, folks. It confirms our fundamental stance. We are the center of the universe. You tell me that narcissism is not alive and well in Santa Monica. We are the center of the universe. It's all about me. You don't talk to me this morning, you're hurting me. I did something wrong. You don't like me. It's all about me, the center of the universe. Oh, I love that. Listen to this. I'm not saying you are that. I'm talking about me. And we evaluate everything that happens from the point of view of our own comparative well-being. If it protects and promotes us, we praise it. If it makes us vulnerable or demotes us, we, not to put too fine of an edge on it, piss and moan. Now, I didn't say that. That's what John Shea said. But that's what we do. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. This makes us, in the language of the parable, grumble ready. It's the truth. The truth of the matter is, we spend so much of our energy and time worrying about the center of the universe. How do I look? That's the truth. And the reality, my brothers and sisters, is that it's not about how much we get. It's not about the prize. It's not about our wage earning. It's not about our success. You know what it's about? And this is my thinking. I hope you will agree. If you don't agree, please tell me after, because I've got to do this in one more mass. And I could get it wrong. I think it's about everything that Michelle said. It's about gratitude. Instead of worrying about what we get, how fair is it? What is the comparison? How much is it in for us? By saying to ourselves how grateful we are. Grateful that we're in the kingdom. Grateful that we have the opportunity to make a difference in this world. Grateful that we're a part of the vineyard. And yes, sometimes he has to go out 5 times to get us, to bring us in. But the joy of being able to be a part of this great work and making a difference in the world, that's what we should be concerned about. And that's where the center of our life and our energy must be. We had a woman yesterday in this church. Her name was Cassie Plattis. She died at 50 years of age of cancer. Tragic death. She had one son, one beautiful son, Josh, who's gone through our kindergarten to the eighth grade and is now in our ninth grade in our school. He's a wonderful kid. He's a peaceful kid. And his father is Jewish, wonderful man, Andy. And just before the ceremony yesterday, Andy came up to me and said, "Monsignor, I just want to say one last thing to you before the funeral." He said, "Cassie poured her life, especially in her last 8 years when she's had cancer. She poured her life into her son." Do we pour our lives into our children? Do we? Do we pour our lives into them? Do we pour our lives into anyone? Do we pour our lives into our ministry, to our work, to building the kingdom? Do we do that? And then he said, "Monsignor, the last thing Cassie said to me was this: darling, I have an open heart." And she died. Are our hearts open? I think that's the issue, my brothers and sisters. Not about how much we earn. Not about what you earn. We are not the center. We are not the center of the universe. And the only way I think we can relieve ourselves of that is gratitude. Thank you. That's what it is. If we live in that gratitude, if we're grateful for the opportunity, for the gift of this great work of the kingdom, our lives will be peaceful and they will be free and they will be filled with everything that our God has called us to.